Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God brought you here today to give you rest. Now, it may not have felt like you were getting a whole lot of rest when you got out of bed this morning after a long week and perhaps a long Saturday. It may not have felt like you were getting rest if it was chaotic to get out of the house on time. It may not have felt like rest to come here, to get dressed, to get ready, to come into God's house, to put on your Sunday best, to come into God's presence. It may not have felt like rest, but God brought you here to give you rest and peace. And there may be a whole host of other places that you say, boy, I would like to find rest. I would like to go on vacation and sit on the beach. I'd like to go play golf. I'd like to lay in bed, maybe. But God, your Creator, says, I give you rest. And I am giving you rest here. Whether it feels like it or not, I am the one who gives true rest and peace and joy and gladness. And I come to you in this place to give you, weary and tired as you may be, rest. Today in our gospel reading, it's all about rest. We have a controversy about rest. Because we have a controversy about the Sabbath. The Sabbath, the word Sabbath, means rest. And so this is a controversy about the Sabbath and therefore a controversy about rest. Because here on the Sabbath day, Jesus is going to eat with religious leaders, and there before him is a man who has a disease called dropsy. Possibly a disease where he retains water and his body is disfigured. He has this disease that is obvious to everyone. Perhaps it's painful. And here on this day of rest, Jesus, God in the flesh, has the power to heal him, to do good for this man, to give this man a rest from this disease. But some of the religious leaders don't quite see it that way. They see this attempt to give this man rest on this day of rest, the Sabbath day, as work. And they do not believe that Jesus should be healing on the Sabbath. And this isn't the first time in the book of Luke that this has happened. If you were to look back in chapter 13, you would see that Jesus heals a woman who is stooped over. And for this action of his is rebuked by one of the religious leaders. They say, oh, aren't there 6 other days that you can come and be healed? Come and be healed on those days. But Jesus responds that this woman has been bound by Satan. And should not she be healed here on this Sabbath day? Jesus reprimands them. And then points out that they would give water to one of their animals on the Sabbath day. And they are put to shame. He did that earlier in the last chapter. And now here on this Sabbath day, we have a similar situation. Because here again is someone who is sick, who needs rest from their illness. Rest from the curse of sin. And now Jesus starts out, before he even heals the man, and says to those assembled there, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? Is it lawful to heal on this day of rest or not? And this time, they don't answer. And Jesus, we hear, just heals the man and sends him away. And then points out to them that even they, if their son or some other animal were to fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, that they would rescue them. They would do this work to give rest and peace to their animals or their sons. And so, we can conclude, wouldn't they also want someone else who is suffering from this disease to have rest on the day of rest? Jesus is teaching them something about what the Sabbath day really is and what it is about. And he's also then teaching us about what the Sabbath day is. And we still have the same God who wants us to give us rest. And he gave the Sabbath day for a very particular reasons in the Old Testament. And so we should first understand what were those reasons that God gave this day of rest. Why did he want his Old Testament people to have rest? And then how does that apply to us today? How does God want to give you today, dear sinner, rest in your weariness? And how does he give you rest? What is the best way for you, a creature of God, redeemed by Jesus Christ, to have rest? Well, first, let's consider why God gave the Sabbath in the first place. You'll see I've listed four reasons on the sermon note sheet, each with Scripture passage, so you can see the reasons, some of the reasons, at least, that God gave the Sabbath in the Old Testament. The first reason I've listed there is so that they might gather together. 6 days, Leviticus 23 says, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwelling places. Notice there is a gathering, a holy convocation. They are gathering together for the Lord. This is a day of worship, of declaring God's praises, and it is a Sabbath to the Lord. The people perhaps were also hearing the word of the Lord on that day. Then second, we see that it is a reminder of creation. Exodus 20, 10 through 11 says, "But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." It is a reminder of creation. And so when in the third commandment we hear, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, the Sabbath day is a day in which we set our mind on the works of God. And specifically here, the work of creation. What God did by his word to create all that we are and all that we have. It is a reminder, therefore, also of all that we need from God. That he's the one that made us, gave us life by his word. And so, yes, we can see why it is a meditation and reflection upon the word and the works of God when we gather on this day of rest. To hear of what God did in the past by his word, what he gave us, what God did in creation, and what he did then when he also rested and set aside the seventh day. Now, we should say something about the rest that God had there on the seventh day. Because we do rest as human beings after the fall, as those who are tired, who are worn out. And we need rest and refreshment because it's hard to keep going. Was that the case for God? Certainly not. God didn't need to stop working because he was worn out from the 6 days of creation. The rest that he has here on the seventh day is a rest from the work. He has stopped this work of creating. He is done with it. The rest that we have here is not a rest because God's worn out, but a rest because he finished the job. He finished the work of creating by his word. But he is actually still working, but in a different way, on the seventh day. Jesus says later that the Father is working up until then, when Jesus is speaking. And so we have in the New Testament the affirmation that God is still working, even on the seventh day, but his work is different. Now he's no longer creating by his word, but he's sustaining. His word is being given to sustain creation. It says in Scripture that he upholds everything by the word of his power. So he is upholding you and working for you and all of the world today, right now, right this minute, to keep your heart beating and your blood flowing and to give you all that you have. All of our lives are a gift of God, and he continues to sustain it as a gift of God. So God is still working, and he calls us to stop. He called, like he called his Old Testament people, to stop. And to remember his word that created all of the world. To remember his work that he accomplished when he created us and created all that we have and all that we are. And we should also be remembering then that he, by his work, is sustaining us today. That he continues to work for us to sustain us. But this is not all that we do on the Sabbath day. The third point that I've listed there on your sermon note sheet says the Sabbath was to be a reminder of freedom from slavery in Egypt. And we have this quote then from Deuteronomy chapter 5. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. We have here yet another reason why they are to keep the Sabbath day. It is not only remembering of creation and of God's word and work there, but also his work in redeeming. It is not also only remembering God's creation, but also his redemption. That he brought the people of Israel out of Egypt to give them rest from their slave labor. To give them rest so that they were no longer enslaved to their captors in Egypt, but now could rest in the Lord, could be fed by the Lord as he gave them manna and quail in the wilderness, and look forward to the day that they would be in the promised land. And continue to enjoy God's rest. So too, they set aside a day on which they remembered all that God had done to redeem them from slavery to sin, or slavery to the Egyptians, and to give them freedom. But there is yet a fourth reason why the Lord gave the Sabbath day in the Old Testament. And that was as a sign to teach Christ. He says in Exodus 31, "You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, 'Above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you.'" Now, Jesus isn't mentioned by name in that passage. But notice here that it is a sign. Signs point you to something else. They tell you what is coming on the road. They tell you where you are. They're pointing you to some other reality. The sign here that the Lord gives in the Sabbath is a sign that points them to Jesus. That there is someone who is going to come who will call himself the Lord of the Sabbath. And who on a Sabbath day, on a Saturday, will be resting. Resting from the most important work for us, the work of redeeming us from our sins. On Good Friday, Jesus went to the cross and did the work to pay for your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world. To redeem us from slavery to sin and bondage to the devil. To bring us out of the devil's kingdom. So that we could be brought through the waters of our baptism, this sort of Red Sea of our baptism, and be washed of sin and be given a new life, and he can feed us not with manna and quail, but with his body and blood. The Sabbath was a sign of what Jesus was going to do when he did that work on the cross and then said, "It is finished." that the final work of paying for sins had been finished, not after the 6 days, not after the week of creation, but the week of Holy Week, and then rest on the seventh day in the tomb, and then start, and then rise again on the next day, the day after the Sabbath, to declare that his work had been finally finished on the cross, that sins had been paid for, and that the curse of sin was broken. That we do not need to remain in death, but we can rise because Jesus has fully paid for sins and risen to a new life. The Sabbath was a sign to point the people to Jesus. And so now we too receive the Sabbath day as a gift from God. We do not have to observe a particular day because Jesus already fulfilled that. He already rested on that seventh day. And so we don't have to observe it on Saturday. We don't have to have a particular day. We have freedom now in Christ to choose other days on which we have that holy convocation to the Lord, and we receive his gifts, and we remember his work of creation and all that he has done to make us and to remake us in Christ in our baptism. We still set aside the time then also to remember what our Lord did on the cross for our salvation and to receive his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And we also are pointed forward still. Just like the Israelites were pointed forward to Jesus and the rest that he was going to accomplish for us by bringing us into his kingdom, we also are still pointed forward. Because we, even though we have been brought into the Sabbath rest of the people of God, we are in the rest now of knowing that we don't have to pay for our sins. That the work of salvation has been done for us and we've been made right with God. We don't have to work to earn God's favor like all the other religions in the world think we have to do. But we can rest in the fact that Christ has paid for us all and done all of the work on our behalf. We can rest in this and receive his work in his body and blood. But we are also pointed forward to the day that we will have final and complete rest. Because right now we still labor day after day by the power of the Holy Spirit fighting our own sinful nature, resisting the temptations of the devil day after day and week after week. And we are looking forward to the day that our Lord does call us home to our eternal rest, when we will rest and await the resurrection unless Jesus comes first. And that's really the thing that we are waiting for, is the final rest that our Lord will give when he not only has us, our souls in heaven, that's what happens to every person who dies before the resurrection and who is a Christian, their soul goes to be with Christ, but their body is still in the ground. But the final goal is actually for our bodies to be raised and us to be body and soul in our Lord's presence in the new heavens and the new earth forever. In other words, in the eternal rest of the people of God, in the promised land. And that's what we're looking forward to. God brings you here to give you rest, to say that he did the work of making you, that he is the one who does the work of sustaining you, that he is the one who brought you out of slavery, not just slavery to masters in some country, like the people of Israel were slaves to the masters in Egypt, but slavery to sin and death and the devil. He brought you out of that. And he comes now to feed you and sustain you and give you life and keep you in that. And to say, I give you rest. To say, as Jesus says, one of the most popular verses in our Lutheran confessions, the statement of what we believe, is what Jesus says in Matthew 11, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There may be many other things that you see and that the world sees that seem to promise rest, but they do not promise you rest from the devil and from your own sins and from death. They do not promise you eternal rest. Only Jesus. Only Jesus can give you lasting rest forever. And although it may not always feel restful to come to church, we can't go by our feelings. We have to go by our word, which we remember when we come and have our holy convocation to the Lord on this day of rest, the day that Jesus rose from the dead. We here have moved the Sabbath in a way. We now have chosen, as the Christian church, to have the day of rest on Sunday, the day on which we hear God's word and remember his works and reflect on his word and look forward to eternal rest. We are looking forward to the day that we are raised because of Jesus' resurrection, and we have eternal rest forever with Jesus. I love how in the hymn we sang at the very beginning of our time together, hymn 581, we heard the third commandment paraphrased in verse 4 of hymn 581. You shall observe the worship day that peace may fill your home and pray, and put aside the work you do so that God may work in you. God is working in you. He invites you to come and have rest. Just like Jesus gave rest and healing to that man who was sick. And he wanted even those religious leaders to come and have rest in him. To have the humility to realize that they were sinners who needed a Savior. And that only Jesus, God himself, could give them rest. And to find true rest not in avoiding any and everything possible that they could do, but find rest in the Lord and his word and in Jesus Christ who had come to redeem them. That same Lord comes to you and says, come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.